Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week we talked about how believers enjoy many spiritual blessings, many privileges that we as believers enjoy. And these are important, and I think it's important to remember too why Peter was writing this letter. The people that Peter were writing to were scattered. They were being persecuted for their faith. In Peter, I think a lot of the things he brings out really from here on out throughout the rest of the letter are just things of encouragement, things to strengthen the body of Christ as they're being persecuted. I mean, a lot of these people were running for their lives. They had been scattered away from Jerusalem, and they needed some encouragement, and Peter understood this. He understood where they what situation they were in. In verse 4, we talked about last week how believers are blessed to be able to draw near to Jesus. As we continually draw near, we experience spiritual blessings. In verse 5, we see how believers are blessed to be God's holy, worshipful priests. We as believer priests have full access to God. We have complete access to God to approach Him in prayer and in worship, and we're able to offer spiritual sacrifices as His worshipful priest. We don't have to go through a human priest. We can approach Him directly. And in verse 6, Peter reminds us that believers are blessed to possess a secure faith. Our faith is secure in Jesus Christ. It's not secure in anything else. And we can stand firm on Jesus. I think of the old hymn, "The Solid Rock." My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that is where that He is the foundation of our faith. And we can trust the promise of eternal life. If you know Jesus Christ, you are secure in Him, and He will see us through into heaven. Today we're going to look at verses 7 and 8 briefly, and this will be a shorter sermon since we're observing the Lord's Supper. I'm planned for it to be a shorter sermon. Some of y'all are smiling at me. I just get excited. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning too. I get excited about the Word of God. We should get excited. Kathy alluded to that as well. We should get excited about studying and knowing God's Word and hearing God's Word. But if you would take your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm actually going to start back in verse 4, and we're going to focus on verses 7 and 8. So if you would, let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read it. It says, "Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame.' Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." Father, I pray as we look at your word this morning, you would open up our hearts to your word, speak to us through your word, and help us to apply what we hear to your life, to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Not only are we blessed to draw near to Jesus, not only are we blessed to be believer priests, not only are we blessed to possess a secure faith and a secure Savior, but we're also blessed as believers to love and serve Jesus Christ. We're blessed to know Him and to have a relationship with Him. In verse 7, you look at the first part, it says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Jesus should be precious to you if you know him. If he is your Lord and Savior, he should be precious to you. Believers should have a genuine affection for Jesus Christ. A real affection, not some manufactured religious affection that we just show one day a week. This should be an affection that beams out of our life each and every day. We should truly love Jesus. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We love Jesus because he came to this earth, demonstrated his love toward us, and showed us that he loved us even when we didn't love him. And for that reason, he is precious to us. And if Jesus is precious to us, we will eagerly and joyfully serve him. We will eagerly live for him, and his joy will come out in our lives. That doesn't mean this giddy, giggly, silly joy. I'm talking about a genuine, heartfelt joy that other people see in you. When people see you, they should see that joy. They should see something different in us. While the world is going doom and gloom, they should see a joy in us that draws them to Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 21 through 24, I want you to hear what Jesus says. Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. When you love Jesus, you want to please him. You want to honor him. You want to obey him and serve him. You want to do things that please him. It goes on and says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest or reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father's who sent me. The Bible is very clear here. It's several things worth pointing out. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. And listen to what he says. We talked about last week drawing near to Jesus. Says here, Jesus makes the promise. He says, and we, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit even, will come to him and make our home with him. That is the mark of salvation. Salvation, at the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, comes to indwell us. He comes to live within us and take up permanent residence. In the Old Testament, it was not that way. The Holy Spirit would come and go. He would come and perform, he would anoint someone and perform acts through that person. That's why David said, take not your spirit from me. The Bible talks about King Saul. There were times that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. But that is not so. Jesus made the promise in John chapter 14. This isn't on the screen. But Jesus made the promise, I will send you the Comforter, and he will be with you forever. He will indwell you. And Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He goes by many names. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit goes by many different names, but that Spirit comes to live. God takes up residence. It's no wonder Paul said that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit lives within us, our bodies are a sanctuary, a holy place, because God comes to dwell within us. But also in this passage, I want you to catch, he says it twice. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You skip down. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Obedience and love go hand in hand. Kind of like peas and carrots. They go together. You can't have one without the other. You can't say, I love Jesus, and live the way that you want to. When we love Jesus, we will keep His word. We will understand His commandments and keep them and obey them and apply them to our lives. We'll obey the word of God. You can't love Jesus as a believer and be disobedient and grumpy. I don't know another way to say it. You can't. When we are grumpy, we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, by this we know that we love the children of God. That's talking about us loving each other. When we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and catch this, that His commandments are not burdensome. Some translations might say grievous, but that's what this means. When we love Jesus and we want to obey His commandments, serving Him is no longer a burden. It's not something that makes us grumpy. We don't cringe at the thought of serving Jesus. We serve Him with gladness. We're eager to serve Him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, some people, there are some who always see the glass as half empty. They never see it as half full. But a negative attitude does not reflect the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ. It doesn't reflect a heart that is surrendered to the control and leadership of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Those are the things that, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, those are the things that come out of us. Our body yields these things. They yield this fruit. They produce these things in our hearts and in our attitudes and in our lives. But a heart that's grumpy, that is not a fruit of the Spirit. We need to allow Jesus to shine through us so that others that don't know Jesus will see Jesus. They need to see Jesus, not us. There are some who always arrive late and they're in a hurry to leave. When it comes to gathering with other believers, they stare at their watch and they wait for that moment to bolt for the door. And the reason is, if we're honest, there's a competing passion. There is something in our life that we can't wait to get to. We're ready to get away from here and get to there. We're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of it. Planning something, you know, we plan something right up next to church, and then if we think we're a few minutes late, man, we got to hurry up and get there. But and that's okay. But what happens? Here's where the problem is: it's during the time we're supposed to be focused on Jesus, we're worried about getting to that next thing. We need to be excited about worship. We need to be excited about the Word of God. If you're not involved in a Sunday school class, I encourage you to get involved. You're going to grow more, I promise you. You will grow more in that small group than you will in this large auditorium. You'll build relationships. You'll have others who can pray for you and hold you to the fire, if I can say it that way. There are ways that we grow in a small group that you cannot grow in this large group. I encourage you to get involved in a Sunday school class. Give it a try. But when we gather to worship, when we gather for Sunday school, whatever it is, when we gather to worship together, our focus should be on Jesus alone. Be excited about worship and about hearing God speak through His Word. Some complain about the effort required in ministry. I was talking to some of you about that this morning, well, related to that, in between Sunday school and worship. But sometimes, some ministry is hard. If we do it correctly, it's hard. It is hard work. But we have to remember, we need to be reminded what is at stake. Our testimony, for one, in our community. The way that we minister reflects where our heart is. It shouldn't be burdensome, even though it is hard. It should be some of the easiest tasks that we perform. We need to remember what's at stake. Our testimony. The lost around us. There are souls. Rather than focusing in the moment, we need to focus on eternity. We need to see people through the eyes of eternity. We need to see each other as Christian brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We need to see each other through the eyes of eternity. Think from an eternal perspective rather than in that moment when maybe you don't feel. There's going to be moments where we don't feel good. There's going to be moments where maybe we rolled out of the bed and hit our toe and it's caused us to have a bad day the rest of the day. But don't think in that moment when it comes to ministry and different things. Think with an eternal perspective of what's at stake. Because one day, another thing we need to be reminded of is who we work for. We work for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a blessing to love and serve Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of that. One day we will stand in our boss's office, if I can put it that way. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account for how faithful we have been or unfaithful we have been. Every idle word that we say, every idle action that we do is being recorded. And we will give an account. That's a sobering thought for me. I take the preaching of God's Word very seriously. Yeah, I might tell you a joke or two, and I might cut up a little bit. But when it comes to explaining the Word of God, I take this with utmost importance. Because I know I'm going to be held to a higher standard with how I've delivered God's Word to you. But you, in turn, will give an account. Whatever it is God's called you to do, to serve Him, you're going to be held to account one day with how faithful you have been in and obeying the voice of the Lord and the Word of God at the judgment seat of Christ. Remember who you work for. Remember what's at stake. Serve the Lord with gladness, with joy, and anticipation of that future reward. Many of you have served the Lord for years. Don't let up. Don't let up. Serve the Lord until you see Him face to face. I knew a man, his name was Al Crockett. He was a Gideon. And I've been with him visiting several times. He attended my home church. And this man, right up until the day he went to be with the Lord, he was there every week into his 90s, out visiting people. The Lord blessed him with the health to be able to do that. But he was out every single week visiting people, telling people about Jesus. And that had an impact on me. I want to be that kind of man. I want to be that kind of person that says, Lord, I'm going to serve you till you call me home. I've seen others do it. Why can't I do it? Serve the Lord with gladness. Believers should have that genuine affection because we're blessed to love and serve Jesus and serve Him with all that we have. But you look on here in the rest of this passage, verses 7 and 8, says, to you who believe, He's precious. But to those who are disobedient, The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But he's also, to us who believe, that's who he is. He is our chief cornerstone. He is the stone that the builders rejected, but to us, he's precious. He is the cornerstone of our faith. But to those who are disobedient and have not trusted Jesus Christ, do not know him. Verse 8, it says, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Some people receive the word of God and some people don't. Some people receive the message of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. Some people do not. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear. You cannot love or serve Jesus Christ until you receive him as Lord and Savior. You can't do it. You can try. You can do a lot of good works, do a lot of great religious things, but you cannot truly love Jesus. He cannot be precious to you until he's your Lord and Savior. In verse 8, this is a direct quote from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. It was Jesus' rejection as Messiah being foretold, and we know it was ultimately fulfilled. Jesus was rejected. But in like manner, those who do not know Jesus, they reject Jesus as the cornerstone of faith and salvation. Acts chapter 4, as Peter spoke boldly at Pentecost, he quoted this same passage. In verse 11, Acts chapter 4, he says, "This," speaking of Jesus, "is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." I said during Pentecost, excuse me, this was when he was speaking to the Sanhedrin. He spoke boldly and he told them, "Listen, this Jesus that you crucified, he is that stone that Isaiah talked about. He is the stone that the builders rejected. But he said, I'm here to tell you today, there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But if you don't know Jesus, you reject him as the cornerstone of faith and salvation. Some are even offended at the mention. He's a rock of offense. Some are offended if you even mention the name Jesus. And it's because when we don't know Jesus, we're blinded. We are completely blinded by the devil himself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." You see, when you don't know Jesus, you're blinded by sin. You're blinded by Satan. He's out to destroy you. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. He's out to destroy us. He's out to tear our lives apart. And he does so by blinding us to God's truth. He doesn't want us to know Jesus. He doesn't want us to surrender our lives to him. He wants us to stay surrendered to what he wants us to do, so that one day we will ultimately be destroyed by spending an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. They stumble at God's word and the gospel. As we close, I want you to understand it is a privilege, it's a high privilege, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whatever God's called you to do, do it as unto the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Believers, is Jesus precious to you? Does our life and does our attitude and our service prove it? I've got a shirt at home, a t-shirt. says if you were accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to prove it? Do our lives prove it? Or is it just religious talk? If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to understand something this morning. To us who know Him, He is precious to us. Our faith and our hope is in Him. But I want you to understand something else. You are precious to Jesus. He loves you. That's the whole reason He came. He came to lay down His life on the cross for you, because you're precious to Him. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I invite you to do that this morning. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. But you have to let Him in. He won't force His way in. Will you surrender your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? It's a blessing to love and serve our Lord and Savior. Do you know Him? Is He your Lord and Savior? Father, I pray as we enter this brief time of invitation, You'd speak to our hearts. Help us to respond to You, believer and unbeliever alike, as You speak to us through Your Word. For that one that does not know You, I pray You would give them the courage to step out in faith and receive You. Father, I pray that they would know and feel Your love for them and how precious they are to You. Speak to us now, in Jesus' name, amen.